Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax, Terminix can help. Because when pests show up, so does Terminix. With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast. If your home or business has pests, don't stress it. Terminix it. Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today. That's TERMINIX.com.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Countdown with Keith Olbermann is a production of iHeartRadio. So apparently this is the 12 days of Trumpmas. Forget Stormy Daniels for the time being. Concentrate instead on Beryl Howell. Until last Friday, Beryl Howell was the judge supervising Special Counsel Jack Smith's grand jury. And sources who have seen the document in question say she wrote of prima facie evidence, quote, that the former president had committed criminal violations, and that the records Trump's lawyers now had to hand over, despite attorney-client privilege, pertained to Trump's, quote, criminal scheme, unquote. Those are phrases that wind up in indictments. We do not know what timetable Jack Smith is working on, nor whether he would finish the investigation of every Trump potential crime first, and then, and only then, indict on any of them. But Trump might still be on trial because of Beryl Howell, long before he's on trial because of Stormy Daniels. And obviously, it would be for much higher stakes. There is a second revelation, nearly as telling, hiding behind Judge Howell's use of the phrases criminal violations and criminal scheme. It's not just the judge's phrasing that matters. It's that she needed to assess whether the violations and the scheme were criminal, because clearly the special counsel was trying to convince her that they were criminal. This is all part of a story broken last night by ABC News that understandably got buried behind the circus here in New York and the one at Mar-a-Lago and the continuing, unrelenting, spiraling cyclone of panic inside the Trump cult. Quote, prosecutors in the special counsel's office have presented compelling preliminary evidence that Trump knowingly and deliberately misled his own attorneys about his retention of classified materials. That's the beginning of the ABC News report. And clearly the judge did not say that only to have Jack Smith then say, that wasn't my intent. I don't think it was criminal. That point is underscored again later. Quote, Howell also ordered Corcoran to hand over a number of records tied to what Howell described as Trump's alleged criminal scheme, echoing prosecutors. One would think it would be obvious that a special counsel investigating criminality or potential criminality by a former president would, you know, believe the former president was guilty of criminality, that would be a given going in. But after Bob Mueller, who knows anymore? This story kind of eliminates the margin of doubt. I am grateful to this story. It is not as much fun nor as visceral as contemplating a Trump mugshot taken by the boudoir photographers from the Manhattan District Attorney's office and then printed on the front page of every newspaper in the world. But it's way more important. There are caveats in the rest of the ABC story. It is sourced, to begin with. The details of the document in which Judge Howell wrote all this come courtesy, quote, sources who described its contents to ABC News. And prima facie is still the lowest of three standards of evidence, as ABC writes. Howell agreed prosecutors made a sufficient showing that on its face would appear to show Trump committed crimes. The judge made it clear that prosecutors would still need to meet a higher standard of evidence in order to seek charges against Trump, and more still, to prove his guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, unquote. There is one other detail. The sealed filing that somebody described to ABC News instructed Trump attorney Evan Corcoran to testify on six separate lines of inquiry about which Judge Howell says attorney-client privilege no longer applies, and the, quote, records, unquote, Corcoran must hand over to the special counsel's office include handwritten notes, invoices, and transcriptions of personal audio recordings, unquote, lordy, lordy, there are tapes. There is also dramatic courtroom news from Fox and Dominion and this Maria Bartiromo, Tucker Carlson booking producer who Monday night revealed anti-Semitism and misogyny and a Tucker Carlson office debate over the F-ability of the respective candidates for governor of Michigan. But let's finish up Trump first. Most of the screams of rage and terror from his supporters are like those of Rand Paul. This arrest is an illegal abuse of power, so instead, abuse this power and arrest the district attorney. Or the new one from Kevin McCarthy asked a direct question about not Trump's arrest, but what he's accused of doing to silence Stormy Daniels. McCarthy answered not about Stormy Daniels, nor about Trump, but about Hillary Clinton. Or the other screams of rage and terror are like, you can't arrest Trump. God sent him. Only God can arrest him. Only God can fingerprint him. Only God can take him down and book him. But those few substantial complaints about the law here center on something else: selective prosecution, and the assumption that nobody ever gets prosecuted for falsifying business records, certainly not as a felony charge, and Trump would be charged for something nobody's ever charged for just because it's Trump. And it turns out that that assumption is hilariously laugh-out-loud wrong. The website Just Security found a few felony prosecutions falsifying business records in the first degree. Found just a few of them. Just in New York, just in the last decade. 27 of them. 27! And they run the gamut from getting food stamps by inventing an imaginary person on your books, to getting insurance payoffs on things lost in a fire that were on your books but weren't lost in a fire. And they go all the way from that stuff to the owner of a New York business falsifying the records of his own business to make it look like he made $1 million less than he did. Second-degree falsifying business records is when you falsify the business records just to falsify the business records. First degree is when you do that with, quote, intent to commit another crime or to aid or conceal the commission thereof. That is New York Penal Code 175.10, and that starts with P, and that rhymes with T, and that stands for Trump. Now to those blights on society who are getting their asses sued for defaming on Trump's behalf. When Tuesday began, Fox was in a world of hurt. Today, Fox is in two worlds of hurt. Fox and Dominion finally got into a Delaware courtroom yesterday, and basically the judge greeted them by slapping the Fox lawyer in the face with a glove and all but asking about his seconds and about pistols at dawn. Fox invoked what is called neutral reportage as a defense against the defamation charges, and it insisted that Dominion could not prove actual malice, and the judge basically then said to Fox, But your side has admitted to making stuff up and passing it off as news, so how could you claim neutral reportage as a defense? And Judge Eric Davis literally brought up Lou Dobbs and asked with incredulity, this is Davis's actual quote, asked, you're saying he's a neutral reporter? Not great, Bob. Fox, quote, news, unquote, suddenly yesterday dropped its attempt to silence the former Maria Bartiromo and current Tucker Carlson producer Abby Grossberg, probably because before they could silence her, she got out almost all of her accusations about Fox lawyers trying to coerce her into lying about and within the Dominion voting defamation case, and also just a couple dozen of her accusations about jokes about the Jews made at Tucker Carlson Fox headquarters and the pictures of Nancy Pelosi in a revealing swimsuit at Tucker Carlson Fox headquarters and the debate at Tucker Carlson Fox headquarters, Gretchen Whitmer versus Tudor Dixon, and we're not talking polling numbers. The legal documents Ms. Grossberg submitted to the courts as part of her lawsuits name the Murdochs and one particular Fox executive, Senior Vice President David Clark, who was in charge of weekends, and judging by the bug eyes in David Clark's photo, I am pretty sure he is the Dave Clark who edited audio tape at the RKO Radio Network when I worked there in 1980, 81, and 82. That's kind of besides the point, but it did sort of strike me as relevant. Anyway, these documents also mention the time Grossberg asked for the day off because her father was in the ICU after brain surgery, and Fox management said, find your own replacement or show up, we don't care. And I know people at NBC who've been treated like that. Several attorneys noted that for all the blood and guts and questions about a possible Maria Bartiromo-Kevin McCarthy sexual relationship, the real point of the Abby Grossberg story is that all of a sudden, Fox could be dealing not with defamation civil suits, but with criminal charges. If you are Fox and your lawyers sat there and coached and directed and threatened your producer away from telling the truth in her depositions and her testimony, that's called subornation of perjury. That's a crime. Not great, Bob. Tucker Carlson, meanwhile, continues to look like an out-of-control train with no brakes going down an incline at 100 miles an hour, and the engineer decides the problem is he's not going fast enough, so let's make it 125. Joan Walsh re-upped her 2019 piece from Salon, in which she wrote that 9 years earlier than that, so that's 2010 when she was at Salon, she'd had an intern reach out to Carlson to write some opinion piece about Obama, and Carlson responded by telling the intern, well, he called her the C word to the intern, and he insisted to the intern that she needed desperately to have sex. This is where Carlson throttled up. Last night, he insisted that January 6th was not an insurrection. Not at all. They didn't have guns. They were just patriotic Americans. It was just people who believed the election was stolen. And they certainly had reason to think that. And on election night, when they went to sleep at dusk, Trump was winning. And then in the morning, the fake news said, and you're thinking, where is he going with all this? Because this could be the audition tape for Newsmax or Mike Lindell TV. Because after Tucker Carlson attacked Trump, if he also attacked the Jews and all the women Fox has been sued by in the past and is going to be sued by now, if he's actually done all that, Fox is going to have to fire him, in which case I will buy everybody in America a martini. A couple of last Trump notes on what again might be Trump-mas Eve, but probably isn't. They are, one, an interview the laughable Piers Morgan did with the laughable Ron DeSantis, about which nobody in Trump world is laughing because sufficient homage was not paid by DeSantis to Trump. Number two, then there's that smarmy New York Congresswoman, Elise Stefanik, the Dolores Umbridge of the piece, who sold her soul to Trump for God knows what, but who told Punchbowl News that she briefed Trump Monday night, quote, about our efforts on the Judiciary Committee, on the Oversight Committee, to get an immediate investigation of Manhattan DA Bragg. Presumably, she did not tell him Bragg can completely ignore the Republicans on this investigation because only the Department of Justice could ever pursue any kind of contempt of Congress charge, and the DOJ would never force a DA to reveal details of a criminal investigation and reveal those details to politicians. Stefanik also said Ron DeSantis was tepid in his defense of the Fuhrer, and DeSantis is, quote, going to see slippage in his polls. And I hear that and I think DeSantis poll slippage will just get him higher high heels. One last gem from Stefanik, quote, we, that's her and Trump, also talked a lot about what I've heard from his supporters in my district and across the country. He's never been in a stronger position in terms of rallying that support. I think you'll see his poll numbers go up, unquote. If Stefanik had added, I also told him he was young and handsome and fit and powerful and inspires worship and is more strong, more masculine, more extraordinary, more virile, more domineering, more irresistible. Oh, wait, sorry. That's the last speech from the end of the Jack Nicholson movie, Carnal Knowledge. Sorry. The third and final of the three Trump PSs. There is yet another insider Trump piece in the New York Times from MAGA Haberman, but this quote is spectacular. Thank you, MAGA. Quote, behind closed doors at Mar-a-Lago, the former president has told friends and associates that he welcomes the idea of being paraded by the authorities before a throng of reporters and news cameras. He has even mused openly about whether he should smile for the assembled media, and he has pondered how the public would react and is said to have described the potential spectacle as a fun experience, unquote. And if that doesn't sound like the completely whacked out Norma Desmond coming down the stairs after murdering her lover at the end of the movie Sunset Boulevard, I don't know what does. I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DA. Still ahead of us in this edition of Countdown. Good God, somebody finally brought up Congressman Jamie Comer's college girlfriend and her charge that he beat her up, and the sideshow about stolen emails that linked the blogger who broke the story to the husband of somebody who was running for office against Comer, whereupon Comer confessed that he was responsible for leaking those emails. The statute of limitations, of course, has already run out, but it's a start. The story of the day, an Aaron Sorkin character said one phrase in one episode of one show, and every one of my ex-girlfriends contacted me immediately and said, wait, isn't that what your dad always used to say? And it was, because Sorkin got it from my dad. And it can be argued that the greatest performance by a basketball player in history came in an NBA Finals game that was not shown on live television and came in a game in which that player scored exactly 4 points. The man who gave that greatest performance, who won an NBA title by literally just showing up, has passed away. That's next. This is Countdown. So the best way to get what you need is to be prepared and to do it early, like World Series tickets. My dad had the foolproof plan for getting us World Series tickets behind the home dugout in 1976, 77, 78. He bought season tickets in the Bronx in 1972. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/countdown. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology hits the front row to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/countdown to try it for free. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/countdown. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix. Terminix can't help you run for office or take on the country's biggest problems, but they can help you solve one of the peskiest problems at home, pests. You know, the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, even the termites in the walls. Because when pests show up, so does Terminix. No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control. Their expertly trained technicians may not know intricate political strategy, but they know their local pest pressures. And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good. Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere. So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it, Terminix it. Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today. That's T-E-R-M-I-N-I-X.com to book online today.
This is Countdown with Keith Olbermann.
This is SportsCenter. Wait, check that. Not anymore. This is Countdown with Keith Olbermann.
In sports, it is easily the most important game by any player in basketball history who in the game scored 4 points. Game 7 of the NBA Finals, May 8, 1970. The New York Knicks ahead in the series, 3-2 over the Los Angeles Lakers, but then blown out in Game 6 after their star center and captain, Willis Reed, tore a muscle in his thigh and did not play a minute. And 20 minutes before Game 7, and Reed was nowhere to be seen. The visiting Los Angeles Lakers were on the court at Madison Square Garden. They thought they had already won the seventh game and thus the championship, and the Knicks thought they had already lost. And then, with minutes left before tip-off, an extraordinary roar started at Madison Square Garden, and it grew and grew and grew as 19,000 pair of eyes turned to one spot. It was Willis Reed hobbling out of the tunnel from the dressing room onto the court for warm-ups. He was going to play. The Lakers players just stared in disbelief, and they played that way the entire game. Willis Reed could barely move. He only took 5 shots, played about half the game. He only grabbed 3 rebounds, but he scored New York's first basket, and they were quickly up by 29 over the absolutely discombobulated Lakers. The Knicks would win 113-99 over L.A. and Wilt Chamberlain and Jerry West to claim their first NBA crown. Willis Reed died yesterday at the age of 80. He led New York to its only other title in 1973. He later served as coach and general manager and had the same job with the New Jersey Nets and was named one of the NBA's 50 greatest players ever. If they made such a list for the NBA's 50 greatest people ever, Willis Reed would have been on that one, too. It is impossible to convey this now, but other than the 19,000 fans in Madison Square Garden on that pretty spring Friday night in 1970, the only way people experienced Willis Reed's emergence from the tunnel in real time was on radio, with the play-by-play of the Knicks announcer Marv Albert or the Lakers announcer Chick Hearn. the 1970 NBA Finals were not shown on live television, in part because basketball was really bad for TV ratings in those days, and in part also out of the fear that if they showed it live, that would cut into ticket sales for the seventh game of the NBA Finals. Many NBA playoff games were shown that way as late as 1986. So first, Willis Reed was heard coming out onto the court, then the Knicks won the championship, and then at 11:30 at night, the Knicks fans of New York got to see it. Rest in peace, Willis Reed. And speaking of television, a shakeup at ESPN. Amid a reported new round of mass layoffs coming there, Executive Vice President Rob King, a 20-year veteran of the company, says he has left ESPN, but that is not what the New York Post is reporting, and one of its columnists is a disgruntled ex-ESPN employee. The Post says King was fired for harassment in social media posts. This much is clear. His ESPN biography page has already been wiped off its website. No other details provided, even by rumor. Either way, if you think SportsCenter lost its direction this century, you can point to Rob King. It is inconceivable that anybody who ever ran that epic franchise had less of an idea of what sports fans wanted from that broadcast. His most infamous of many bad decisions was to take a decent enough talk show called Numbers Never Lie with two pretty good anchors named Jemele Hill and Michael Smith, rename it His and Hers, and then shortly thereafter, rename it the 6 p.m. edition of SportsCenter without ever really changing what poor Hill and poor Smith were doing, arguing that the chemistry between the two of them was strong enough to not only not require them to do or learn anything they hadn't done on a talk show, but that it was strong enough to recreate SportsCenter in their image. This guy King basically left two people who did not cover sports news on television per se to get absolutely fried by public opinion when they tried to with no help. They got blamed. Hill ran into political problems. She left the network. Smith left the network. Rob King stayed at the network. Until yesterday. Nancy Faust, and to quote Joseph Cotton in Citizen Kane, "What a disagreeable old man I have become." Still ahead on Countdown, in Aaron Sorkin's TV series Newsroom, Jeff Daniels said, "New York, it'll be a great town whenever they finish it." And the moment the words were out of his videotaped mouth, like every one of my ex-girlfriends texted, emailed, or called asking the same question, "Isn't that what your dad always said?" Coming up, first time for the daily roundup of the miscreants, morons, and Dunning-Kruger effect specimens who constitute today's worst persons in the world. The bronze, Elon Musk. Bloomberg News reporting that the man who got rich on other people's ideas is suspected of giving access to sensitive Twitter data to a Saudi prince, a Qatari sovereign wealth finance fund, and a Chinese crypto guy, all of whom helped fund Musk's purchase of Twitter. Bloomberg quotes an unnamed U.S. official who describes Musk's Tesla as a Chinese company with an American subsidiary. It quotes Senator Mark Warner saying, "I don't think there is another American more dependent upon the largesse of the Communist Party than Elon Musk." And most importantly, Bloomberg reports the Biden administration is weighing whether or not to have Musk's purchase of Twitter, well, the Chinese, Saudi, Qatari Musk purchase of Twitter, reviewed and possibly blocked, reversed, for national security concerns by the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States. Hey, Elon, you've stolen a lot of memes. Any of them memes ever read by Felicia? The runner-up, Kentucky Congressman Jamie Comer, the new chairman of the House Oversight Committee, would-be inquisitor who complained that the late Biden had died before somebody could investigate him. Class act, this Comer. Profiled by the New York Times, Comer made an unbelievable comparison about trying to manage the blithering oral spasms of Marjorie Taylor Barney Rubble Green. Quote, "It's hard for a coach to tell LeBron James what he's doing wrong." The only thing Green and LeBron James have in common is that they've both been to a gym. But our winner, also Congressman Jamie Comer. That Times piece is pretty much the standard access journalism fluff job, but down there in paragraph 9, somebody finally mentioned the still unresolved charges from 2015 that I have repeatedly mentioned here, that Comer beat his college girlfriend, called her parents, and to them threatened her life, drove her to get an abortion, and became enraged when she used his name on the abortion paperwork. It is not until paragraph 31 that the big news comes out, though, in the Times story. There were emails connecting the blogger who first reported this story to the husband of somebody running against Comer in the big Kentucky governor's race of 2015. Somehow, those emails got out and they leaked. Quote, "In an interview with the Times, Mr. Comer confirmed for the first time that he had been behind the leak and strongly hinted he had gotten the emails from the server." The Times quoted Comer then as saying, "I've had two servers in my lifetime. Hunter Biden's is one, and you can, I'm not going to say who the other one was, but you can use your imagination. It ended up in my lap. I'll put it like that," unquote. And the Times pretty much dropped it there. Chairman James Comer is a common thief. And after 8 years, nobody has disproved the other allegations that he's also a common domestic abuser and a violent scumbag. Comer has no business driving a bus, let alone serving in Congress. James, it ended up in my lap. Comer, today's worst person in the world.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix. Terminix can't help you run for office or take on the country's biggest problems, but they can help you solve one of the peskiest problems at home, pests. You know, the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, even the termites in the walls. Because when pests show up, so does Terminix. No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control. Their expertly trained technicians may not know intricate political strategy, but they know their local pest pressures. And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good. Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere. So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it, Terminix it. Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today. That's TERMINIX.com to book online today.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hey Still ahead on Countdown, Aaron Sorkin has created two different television series based largely on my career. One of them, Sports Night, he boasted was largely about my career. The other, Newsroom, he denied I had anything to do with it, even after he had hired me as a consultant and hired away my assistant as an actress and named another character after her. Oh, and then he quoted my dad word for word in episode 7. Things I promise not to tell next. First, in each edition of Countdown, we feature a dog in need you can help. Every dog has its day. Back here in New York, Moose Tracks is in a world of hurt. A terrified stray, mixed breed, big dog, blue-brown eyes, kind of freckly. He only arrived in the New York pound a week ago yesterday, but he's already on death row. He's too terrified to be released from his kennel, yet he's gentle when taking treats. At the age of 3, he's crying out for help, at great risk to be killed there. Our pledges will help defray the costs of a rescue to pull him and save his life. Look for Moose Tracks on my Twitter feeds. I thank you, and Moose Tracks thanks you. I heard Jeff Daniels say the words, and in the next minute, my cell phone rang. It was an ex-girlfriend. While we were talking, an email arrived from another ex-girlfriend, and then in came a text from the current girlfriend at her folks' house. Then 2 more emails, and before I was off the phone, 2 voicemails. And then regular friends started to contact me. This is just over 10 years ago now. It was Sunday, August 5th, 2012. Jeff Daniels was playing the controversial newscaster and commentator on Aaron Sorkin's HBO series Newsroom, which was based structurally on me and Countdown, and I know this because Aaron Sorkin told me so before he filmed any of it. And I know this because he asked me if he could base the pilot episode on what happened to me at MSNBC in the spring and summer of 2010. And I know this because he came in and shadowed the staff of Countdown for 2 days to get the feel for the place. And I know this because he wound up basing one character, Maggie Jordan, on my assistant, Margaret Judson, and then hiring Margaret Judson as a consultant, and then hiring her as an actress to play a part that wasn't supposed to be her. And I know this because he was furious when I would not fly to Denver, I think it was, to do a cameo in the pilot. And I know this because he said he was hiring me as a consultant. And I know this because I never saw a dime out of it. This was the second time Aaron Sorkin had based one of his TV series on one of my TV series. The other was called Sports Night. And Esquire magazine once asked me to interview Sorkin about Sports Night, and I asked him the real tough question. What was the origin of Sports Night? And his answer was, quote, "You are the origin." So when the New York Times had called me about Newsroom, I lightheartedly said it was nice to know in advance this time that Aaron Sorkin was making a TV series about me. Sorkin did not like this at all. And he told all his actors to tell all their interviewers that this was not true. And I know that because Jeff Daniels told me that that was what Sorkin had told him. Sorkin is interesting. I had known him for about 10 or 12 years when he came into Countdown to see what it looked and felt like. And he was 20 minutes late. And my assistant, Margaret, after whom he named Maggie Jordan, whom he then hired away from me, and whom he finally hired as an actress to play Tess Weston, and she was great, by the way, Margaret brings him in, and he apologizes for being late, and he says he's staying in a hotel 2 blocks away, and he should have just walked, but instead he got in a car. And the next thing he knew, he was 6 blocks away, caught in traffic caused by the complete shutdown of one of the crosstown streets for midday construction. And I laughed, and I said, well, like my late father the architect used to say, New York, it'll be a great town whenever they finish it. And he laughed, and I laughed, and 2 years later, in the 7th episode of the HBO Newsroom series, first aired on August 5th, 2012, and re-aired throughout the week, Jeff Daniels as the anchorman Will McAvoy, who wasn't me, but actually kind of was me, is late to his newsroom because he gets caught in Manhattan traffic caused by Sunday night street construction, and he says to his exasperated producer, New York, it'll be a great town whenever they finish it. That's when my phone and email blew up, and the then-girlfriend and like 40% of all of my exes ever all had the same question. New York, it'll be a great town whenever they finish it. Isn't that what your dad used to say? Even the ones who never met my dad knew this because I used to quote him constantly. Because the real humor in the quote is the fact that my dad was an architect and construction was his business. New York, it'll be a great town whenever they finish it. And then, one of the last of the exes reached out. She waited until the show was over. Now, I don't think any of us is proud of this, but she had also dated Sorkin once or twice. And since she had written celebrity stories for a New York newspaper, he had later asked her by email what the world of gossip reporting was like, and she told him by email. And what she now told me made Aaron Sorkin's use of my dad's quote and other parts of my life seem like possible coincidences. She said she was watching the third, maybe fourth episode of Newsroom, and in walked a new character, a gossip columnist, a woman. And the first sentence the character said was, my friend and ex said, word for word, something she had sent to Sorkin in one of the emails about the gossip business. She said when she heard it, her face started to get red, and it would keep getting redder. The gossip columnist character's second line had also been cut and pasted from my ex's email. Then her long speech, then all of her dialogue, she said, in her second scene. My ex actually managed to record that episode and to find her own email to Sorkin and to compare them, and she said, other than changing a couple of tenses, he had used her answers verbatim. I met the actor Josh Charles during the 2000 World Series. I was there anchoring it for Fox Sports. Josh was there promoting his new show on Fox. Josh had played Dan Rydell on Sorkin's Sports Night series, and even Sorkin and I agree Dan Rydell is just me with a different haircut. I was walking up 6th Avenue one day in October 2000, and from several blocks away, I saw Josh Charles walking towards me. So I had several minutes to prepare what I could say to him. This was not spontaneous, sadly. But after our eyes met and I smiled and he gave me that, yes, I'm on TV look that I recognize and have myself deployed, he switched suddenly to shock and even a little apprehension. And I said the line I had been rehearsing in my head for several minutes. Excuse me, you don't get to say this often in life, but didn't you used to play me on TV? Right there on 6th Avenue, Josh told me about the ordeal of working with and for Aaron Sorkin, and I thought he just meant for actors. But I later found out, because New York, it'll be a great town whenever they finish it. Josh and I are still friends. We've gone to ball games together. We were in a fantasy baseball league together, and one night on my ESPN 2 show, we came back from commercial, giving the audience no warning or explanation, and we simply started co-anchoring the show and calling it Sports Night, and making references to the program and to Newsroom. And then he said, why did we keep reading this? And I said, I don't know. I just assumed Sorkin had run out of new ideas. The mutual laughter that followed was sincere. There is one more punchline to the Newsroom Sorkin story, because I was like his seventh guest ever. When Stephen Colbert wrapped up the Colbert Report on Comedy Central, I was invited to be on the final farewell episode, me and like 99 other people. There were so many of us, ranging from Barry Manilow to Bryan Cranston to Big Bird, that they had like 9 green rooms in the Comedy Central building. And I get there and they send me to the green room I would be sharing with several other people, and I trudge up a bunch of stairs to the top floor, and in this big room there is only one other performer there yet. It's Jeff Daniels. Without saying hello, he says, now wait, let me explain. Sorkin told me, and I explained, and then he explained, and then I explained some more, and Jeff said, oh, a lot. And once he said, oops, and Sorkin didn't tell me that. And after about 3 minutes, he said, so I owe you an apology. And I said, no, you don't. It's not your fault. And he smiled and he said, well, great, I'm glad. So can we take a picture together that I can put out on Twitter? And I said, yeah, absolutely. But only if you capture it New York. It'll be a great town whenever they finish it. I've done all the damage I can do here. Thank you for listening. Here are the credits. Most of the music was arranged, produced, and performed by Aaron Sorkin. Now by Brian Ray and John Philip Chanel, who are the Countdown musical directors. All orchestration and keyboards by Aaron Sorkin. No, John Philip Chanel. Guitars, bass, and drums by Aaron. Who wrote this? Guitars, bass, and drums by Brian Ray. Produced by TKO Brothers. And Aaron Sorkin! Other Beethoven selections have been arranged and performed by No Horns Allowed. The sports music is the Olbermann theme from ESPN2, and it was written by Mitch Warren Davis, courtesy of ESPN Inc. Musical comment by Nancy Faust, the best baseball stadium organist ever. Our announcer today was Stevie Van Zandt. Everything else is pretty much my fault. So that's Countdown for this, the 806th day since Donald Trump's first attempted coup against the democratically elected government of the United States. Arrest him now, while we still can. Or, if it's already happened as you're listening to this, arrest him again while we still can. The next scheduled countdown is tomorrow. Until then, I'm Keith Olbermann. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and good luck. Countdown with Keith Olbermann is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax, Terminix can help. Because when pests show up, so does Terminix. With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast. If your home or business has pests, don't stress it. Terminix it. Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today. That's TERMINIX.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.